flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Eagle season keeps going, so we keep getting baldy on Wednesdays at 4. Our Odyssey Sports NFL Insider calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Baldy, how we doing, man?
I'm good, Spike. I'm good. Good to join you guys. It means football's still going on.
That's right.
It's a good thing. I mean, a lot of snow, good weather, good fun football conditions. It was enjoyable to see, how they won that game, different things it took to win that game.
Yet that was, given the elements, the way the opponent played, the way that the game went, it felt like one of the toughest football games I've watched in a long time, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's between the hitting and the conditions and the change from the start of the game to beginning of the second quarter to, cleaning the lines off and the numbers off in between timeouts so you can see where the hell they were. I still don't even know on that big throw down the field to Nacua, like how he knew where the sideline was, to get his feet in bounds. Because I don't know anybody knew where the sideline was.
Yeah, that was I think I echo everyone in Philadelphia when I say when Nacua caught that ball, I was like, oh, this is it. This is the end of the season. I was sure they were scoring after he caught that ball.
Yeah, well, Jalen Carter has something to say about that, right?
He sure did.
So he stepped up his game. He made back-to-back plays right there to make sure they weren't going to get that touchdown. But, I mean, everybody had a lump in their throat, Spike. I mean, nobody didn't. You get that close to the goal line, needing a touchdown. I mean, you need a great play from a great player. He delivered.
Yeah, that's where I want to start at, Baldy, with Jalen Carter, man. And, we've talked at times this year about how he's dominated games, what his potential could be when we compare him to great players. Man, that was one of those games right there that is like a legacy game. Because I'm with you. I know what Saquon did on the offensive side of the ball, but we don't have Jalen Carter, not just on those final few plays, but he also punched out a fumble that Isaiah Rodgers recovered and ran back a bunch of yards. Just the impact of Jalen Carter as a defensive player. Like, man, he was all over the place Sunday.
He was, but, to the two plays you're talking about, Ike, Nacua catches the ball down there, it's third and four, and, he's sacking Stafford, and then he's hitting him on the final play. So he keeps him out of the end zone there. And then, they just give up the safety. It's 16-15, and they're driving when he punches the ball out of Kyren Williams' hands. I don't think Kyren Williams lost a fumble this year, maybe one. I mean, that play to get off the block and then ball his fist up and give you an ollie jab like that for a knockout punch. You saw how frustrated Kyren was in that spot. He never knew Jalen was there, never felt it. And it was a perfect, a lot of guys ball their fist up to punch the ball out, but not everybody can throw an ollie jab, and that's what he did. And, that saved that part of the game too. So
yep.
Two huge plays to your legacy point to That's how you build a legacy. In the heat of the moment, when the game is in the balance, can you take the game over? He did it twice on Sunday.
I think one of the most impressive things from Jalen Carter is he not only played almost every snap on Sunday, but he's been doing that for a couple of months now. And to make those two plays at the end of the final drive against the Rams, when they were in no huddle, when they had just scored and the Eagles only had a three and out afterwards, and to have enough gas left to dig deep and make those two plays when you had played essentially every down of the game was really, really impressive to me.
I'm with you, Spike. And, you know, honestly, I feel like he would be better and make more splash plays like he made in those two spots we're talking about if he didn't have to play every down. But they're just not the same group. And it's not to knock Milton or Jordan or, you know, Jomo. Like, those are good players, but they're rotational players, all of them. Mm-hmm. Because Jalen's that good at one tackle. And so while they rotate guys in there, even if Booker gets in there for a play or two, but, I mean, as soon as Jalen goes out, they're just not the same up front. And so I feel like he'd make more splash plays if he was a little more rested, because he does look gassed at times.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, I told that to Max Crosby. Like, you try to play every play, great. You know, you might not be as good as you need to be in big moments. Now, he has been. So it's a credit to his conditioning that he can still make those type of plays when they need him.
The Eagles missing N'Kobe Dean. How did you think Oren Burks looked?
I thought Oren was good. I mean, I thought N'Kobe's been great. But I thought Oren was good. He knocked the ball down on a blitz. They sent the blitz, you know, at the end of the game to get pressure and to kind of heat up Stafford. It worked. A couple of times he came with Zach. But I thought Oren was good in there. Yeah, I know, you know, Trott Jr. was in there some, but not much. I think they're going to ride Oren here. He's a veteran player, he's been around, and he looks comfortable in his spot right now.
So before we get to the Commanders game, over to the offense, I'm sort of at the point with the passing game. We've been talking about it since they sort of made this shift in the bye week and passed much less. I'm sort of at the point where I'm like, it is what it is. Let's see what it works, if it works or not. Do you think that do you see any thread or any glimmer that we're going to see a more impressive Eagles passing game this week and then hopefully in a couple of weeks from then? Or is this just sort of what we're looking at for the rest of the year?
Well, there are two things about that question, Mike. It's a good question. I mean, one is the game is going to dictate it. If Washington plays it like they did the other day, and they're able to get in a shootout and score. I mean, they had 31 points up at halftime. So if they get in any kind of shootout and you got to play that style, that's going to force you out of it. And then I went down and I looked at Saquon these two games against the Commanders, Spike. Right? He scored touchdowns on runs of 23, 39, 68 yards. And 12 of his runs have produced three touchdowns and 224 yards. And 43 other runs have produced 87 yards. And 1 2-yard touchdown run. They're getting explosive home run plays out of the run game, like we saw last week.
Mm-hmm.
If they continue to do that, then I don't think there's any cause for alarm. But if you're not, and then on top of it, you're playing from behind, it's going to make you throw the ball more. It just is. And so it's great that you can run it on average over the course of the season, 57% of the time. You can put up 621 runs, whatever it was this year. You know, if you're playing with the lead, if you're in control of the game. But if you're not, we won't know until they're forced to do it, if they're forced to do it.
Listen, you're a former O-lineman, Baldy. What was that game like? First of all, have you ever played in like a snow game, one of these type of snow games? And what was that like for the O-line out there Sunday?
Well, it's fun. It's fun. You know, you're having a little bit of, you know, you're worried about your footing so that you're not slipping. But I didn't see that as an issue for any of the guys. You know, but it's just a different element. But it's honestly, you kind of just lock in. Like, you don't even really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just hope you're not slipping in a big spot. You know, you see Mekhi Becton take Christian Roseboom and knock him into the middle of next week. It didn't look like it was an issue when he was hitting people. So that was good. I was there on the field that day, Ike, when Shady ran for 200 whatever yards it was against Detroit. And that looked like that was a lot of fun that day for Kelsey and Lane back in 2013. So, snow at the link isn't anything I think that, I don't know. Like, I enjoyed it when it was at the vet a couple times it happened with me, but it didn't look like it slowed anybody down on Sunday.
Yeah.
Baldy, Jaden Daniels is on a run, like, and especially as a rookie, that I have to tell you, as an Eagles fan, I feel sort of terrified. What is the key, if any, to limiting the damage that he can do on Sunday?
Well, it's really a combination, Spike, of him and Cliff Kingsbury, because, like, they got him into formations and motions on Saturday night in Detroit. That Detroit, like, they just, you know, for example, like the Terry McLaurin hitch and run for 58 yards. I mean, the pre-snap read is Brian Branch blitz, and he really has a stack play. He can run an outside zone to the right, and they block it well, and he can hand it off to Robinson. But he sees Branch on the blitz, and he throws it out there to McLaurin. They've got two guys blocking. They didn't have anybody else. He runs through the gauntlet. He goes 58 yards. I think it's a combination of both. It's the formations. It's the motions. Zach Ertz on the touchdown. He's been catching that same freaking touchdown he caught on Sunday since Chip Kelly was throwing to him. Like, it's that little out cut and then in, and he gets positioning. You know, he's still no yak Zach. I mean, it's still the same, but he still catches those first downs and touchdowns. It must be annoying because some people that aren't a Zach Ertz fan, but, like, that guy is still really, really good. And they look for him in those spots. And so, Jaden is unbelievable from this standpoint. He does everything at the line of scrimmage. He gets everybody lined up. He calls all the formations. Like, Cliff gives him the play, but he's doing all the little stuff. You know, making sure the running back is on the right side to run it the other way. Like, all the little things, he's doing everything at the line of scrimmage. And then he never screws up a snap. He never fumbles one. Like, the guy's just locked in. It's just amazing to see that somebody so young can be so good so early. And seemingly, the atmosphere never bothers him. Nothing fazed him in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And I know it was loud as hell, and you couldn't hear. But him and Tyler Biadasz, you know, I mean, silent count, whatever it was, nothing bothered them from, you know, having their biggest game of the year.
Yeah, he plays fearless, man. Plays fearless. When you look at our QB, Baldy, got banged up, got his knee twisted there, and we're all wondering what's he going to be like Sunday, whether or not his mobility is going to be compromised. And if it is, like, what does that do to the offense for him being effective and also the running game? So any thoughts on Jaylen and whether or not, if he's not at 100%, how does this impact the offense?
Well, I mean, you know, he's tougher than Channelview, Texas shoe leather, right, Ike? So he's going to play. Now, we've seen him banged up in the playoffs with ankle injuries and knee injuries and shoulders over the last 3 years. I don't expect him to be 100%. But I also don't expect him, you know, to take big sacks from Kobe Turner like he did the other day. Mm-hmm. I expect some better mobility than maybe we saw. But he's definitely going to be curtailed. I don't think there's any question about it. It's just to what level.
Yeah,
he threw it down to A.J. Brown at the pylon. A.J. catches that ball 98 out of 100 times. Mm-hmm. You love seeing the deep ball right there and the accuracy after that injury. The throw over the middle to Devontae Smith was a dime. He catches that all the time. He had his head taken off by Keller Witherspoon. He made a couple throws. But I'd like to, honestly, especially if he is compromised a little bit, I'd love to see more Saquon in the passing game. I don't care if it's a tunnel screen, slow screen, quick screen. Like, he's so good in space. Like, I feel like Gainwell's been that guy, but I feel like there's plays in the passing game where if Jaylen is compromised, like, all right, let's get to Saquon, let's get in his hands, let's get Juergens out, let's get Mekhi, let's get Lane out in front, let him pick some guys off, let him go.
How do you see this one going on Sunday, Baldy?
Well, I mean, I thought the Eagles would go 4-0 in the postseason. I'm not changing my tune at this point.
Okay.
I think they're better than the Commanders in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And I think, you know, watching Jalen Carter against Trent Scott, it might not be pretty for Trent Scott. You know, I think they're better up front. They're better on both sides of the ball, and I think that'll be the difference in the game, regardless of what Jalen's stats are at the end of the game.
All right, Baldy. Well, hopefully next time we talk to you, it's about the Eagles in the Super Bowl against the Bills or the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
All right, Baldy. Thanks,
all right,
man.
Baldy.
Okay. There is Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Mayo.
Ike, I was thinking about something this morning, and when I thought of it, I knew it was going to sort of make you shake your head at me.
Uh-oh.
Thinking about the game on Sunday.
Okay.
So, I know I've said things like this before, but now it's a different reason. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, when the Eagles score touchdowns, I would go for two every single time. And the reason I would do that is obvious. Before, the go for two thing is a stats thing. It's an aggressiveness thing. For me, I can't. The thing about the extra point kick is it's sort of like it's going to happen. You're just taking the one.
Automatic.
It's automatic. It's not automatic anymore. You know, Jake Elliott has been good kicking field goals. He has not been good kicking extra points. And, you know, those two extra points on Sunday could have been the reason we lost the game. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is if they're both 50-50 propositions, going for two and going for one, I'd rather just go for two. Because if it's 50-50, if I score touchdowns, worst case scenario, I end up with two total points. But if it's Jake kicking extra points, I'm going to end up with one. And I know, look, maybe it shakes his nerves and
yep.
all that sort of stuff. But
yep.
I can't worry about that anymore. If we don't get through Sunday, there is no Super Bowl. So I'm fine with Jake Kelly kicking field goals. I don't want another, you know, kicker, and hopefully he figures out what's wrong before next year. But if I'm the Eagles, I'm going for two every time I score a touchdown on Sunday.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do that. Yeah. Can't. We haven't that's not the formula that we've used to win.
But the formula before was take the points, right?
Yeah.
The points aren't there anymore to take with Jake. That's my worry. You're not taking the points anymore.
Yeah, listen, I can't necessarily argue against that. Jake has made it makes me a little nervous when he's out there. I still agree with that. But he still made three clutch field goals Sunday.
He did.
And they weren't easy. He nailed those down.
He's never missed a field goal in the postseason.
Yeah. I don't want to.
22 for 22.
I'm not saying go
you
for it.
You think he knows the difference between a field goal and an extra point?
Just tell him it's a field goal.
Lie to him.
Yeah, that's what we got to do, man.
Keep him in the tunnel. Put headphones on him that are playing loud music so he doesn't know what's going on in the game. And put a blindfold on him. And then just walk him out to the middle of the
kick
field.
Kick the field goal, yeah.
Kick the field.
Yeah,
it's just a field goal. I don't think the Eagles would do it, but I think it would be a... I think it would be a
There's
strong
no way they would
idea.
Do it. And here's why they wouldn't do it. Because I believe, and I agree, this messes with Jake's head.
Jake's messing with my head
now. I get that. That's with my stomach. Yes.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. But I still feel like, and I don't want to be in a position where I'm chasing points.
I just feel like we're chasing points when he's...
I know. You're assuming he's going to miss them. I'm assuming he's going to make them.
I like my assumption better than yours at this point.
Well, you've been more accurate.
Yeah,
yes,
this one.
That's more accurate, yes.
215-592-94. Now, Jack, what would you do? Would you go for every...
No, I hate going for it all the time. I really do, because I'm a football guy. I just... Okay. You get a little too crazy. You get a little too crazy.
Mm-hmm. I do, or...
No, like, the analytics people. I just...
Which is not an analytics thing.
It is an analytics thing. Going for it all the time, you could also not
when
get
that,
it.
When that field goal... When the kicker's not making the extra points...
It was the snow on Sunday. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's fine.
You guys tell yourselves
that. Yeah, we have to.
All right.
Better plan than going for it all the time.
Yes, I have to tell myself that.
Does it bother you that Josh Harris owns the Commanders? Yoshi in Brewery Town, you're on WIP. What's up, Yosh?
What's up, my man Spike? Big Eye, Jagged Baby. I'm back in the Jeep, so no, it's not going to sound as good as it sounded yesterday.
Okay.
Okay.
He addressed that before you addressed it, Spike. Yes.
Yes. Because I didn't want him to hear, because you know how he is. Yo, she don't sound as good as she sound yesterday.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I heard it.
I know you did. You wouldn't say something. And you need to stop you need to start praising Jalen like you praise everybody else. That's your problem.
Don't you do this to me, Yoshi.
I knew you was going to say that. I said, you going to sit there and say, no, not yo. No, I just told Jack. I was like, let me see, can I break him real quick?
No. I broke once, and I'm not breaking again the rest of the show. So.
I take back. I was like, I got to see if I can break it. But I said, he going to sit there and say, I can't believe this. Yoshi doing this to me. Nah, bro, I wouldn't do that to you. And this show is full of triggers, man. Just like these guys call up and trigger you, I'll be triggered. Like, it's a lot of stuff y'all be saying. I mean, when y'all talking about porn stars, y'all took me another direction because I started thinking it was something else. And then
well, that's all. You don't need much to take you in that direction.
Then every commercial was saying they talking about Alexis, Texas. And then I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm trying not to go down that rabbit hole. Then I go and Google her pictures.
All right, all right, all right.
What's Alexis,
Texas? She is a she's not a porn star, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, I got you now.
But you know what? God doesn't
was whacking that thing.
I started thinking about that stuff, but then y'all started trying to pronounce Dawn, and I was like, that's God talking. They saying my wife's name. Let me not start thinking about Alexis, Texas. Like, God send you some signs, won't he?
He will.
Dawn. I was like, ooh. I was like, boy, what's he been straighten up. Get your life right. Get back on the right path. So I stopped thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Herb kind of triggered me yesterday talking about Joy Taylor, and then I was like, man, daggone Jason Taylor would have been beating me up all the time because I would have been sneaking in his sister's window like crazy. Like, this show is a triggering show for a person like me. You understand what I'm saying? Spike, you know
dude,
what I'm
a stiff breeze would trigger you. Like, what doesn't trigger you?
Yeah, y'all started talking about the Bluetooth commercial. I'm like, I don't need Bluetooth yet, but when I do need Bluetooth, I'm going to get me a Bluetooth. It's crazy around here, man. It really is crazy around here. But I love this show. I love this show. Let me get my mind back right. I don't even know what I was going to talk about. I'm just going to say a whole bunch of stuff. I do know, though, my trash show that I love, and now that it has a trash host from another trash show, I love that show, Cheaters. I love that show, Cheaters.
Is that show still on?
Yes.
Cheaters is still on?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, they got daggone Peter Pankey. What's that? I was looking at Love and Hip Hop with my wife so much, I can't even remember his real name. The rapper,
Peter Guns. Peter Guns.
From Lord Tariq and Peter Guns?
Yes.
That Peter Guns hosts Cheaters?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wanting to fight everybody, being a tough guy up there. What's the name? The guys get mad at him because he's saying, yeah, man, he up there. What's they doing? Some of everything to her. And then what's the name? The guy get mad at Peter Pankey, Peter Guns, and then they want to fight. And I just be stuck. I'm like, this is so corny. But I sit there and watch it. Just like I get stuck on Tubi sometimes. Tubi got some dumb shows. What's the name? But I be stuck looking at it. I ain't in front, though. What's the name? I be, man, what's the name? When they be having them sex scenes, I think
I gotta let Yoshi go. He's in a really bad place today.
I'm not watching Tubi. I refuse to watch Tubi.
Hugh's a big Tubi guy.
Yeah, I refuse to watch Tubi.
Tubi's like, is it free? Tubi? Is that why? I see it pop up on free?
I think it's an app. I don't think it's an actual TV channel.
Right. Yeah, but you can watch it on your, I feel like I have it in my.
Like a smart TV?
Smart TV.
No, just in my, I feel like in my regular, you know how you go in cable, in your cable, it can say, I can watch Netflix within my cable. I thought Tubi's in there too. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right. 215-592-9494. Does it bother you that Josh Harris owns the Commanders? I thought Yoshi was going to get to that at some point, but somehow we got to Alexis, Texas.
No, he's totally distracted.
Yeah,
Blue Chew is the worst thing that happened to Yoshi.
Yes. Yeah. I need Yoshi to just call and stop listening, and maybe we can get more. You just tell him what the topic is when he calls.
Yeah. And the next question.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we do have a new edition of the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. We have two new challengers
entries
in the top five. So that's huge news. We will have that. And what does Tom Brady say about the Commanders and their ability to win this week? We have that next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.